And we'll be reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. We ask you to hear the word of God. This is what it says, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we consider the text presented by the gospel writer Luke, let us consider the context. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. That statement, hold that thought, is our typical response when someone says something that seems to us to be profoundly strange. It's usually someone else's thought told to us that's so bizarre that we can't wrap our brains around it. You know what I mean. It's usually a thought that we think doesn't even deserve a second thought. It typically begins when someone says, "Hey, I've got a great idea." And it's usually said with excitement as if they thought they really had a good idea. And then once it's explained to us and we realize the strangeness of it or the absurdity of it, we usually look at that person and tell them to hold that thought. The idea behind our comment is that we think their idea is one that would have been better if they had just kept it to themselves and didn't share it with too many other people. It's a statement that's offered to protect ourselves and others around us from someone else's out-of-the-box thinking. But it's also a statement that might indicate the fact that we've heard what they've said, but that we haven't fully committed to our belief in their idea. That's certainly one way to think about it, but today we catch a glimpse of God's activity with someone who's been especially chosen to do something that's especially important at a time when it's especially needed. They've been given a divine message that will literally change the world. And this message that God sends is not something that one can easily dismiss When someone receives a message directly or indirectly from God, it's probably in the best interest of everyone if that person really does hold that thought and hold it close. We all know this story about Mary and the divine message she receives. If you've been around the church anytime, it's told almost every Christmas. This story has been told over and over again since Jesus' mission and ministry began at his birth. God has sent the angel Gabriel to be the bearer of an especially important message. The angel comes to Mary and tells her that she is favored and that the Lord, her God, is with her. Already things are beginning to change. It's not that God hasn't favored women before. Certainly Sarah leaves a legacy of God bestowing grace upon grace on women. That God would do this is really not as rare as we might think. But at this time, it's been 700 years since God gave a hint of a message to Ahaz. And as of the time of this message, God has been silent among the Jewish people for about 400 years. That God would choose not one woman, but two women to bring into the world two children that would set in motion God's plan to unalterably change the world forever is indeed a thought worth holding. It was special. And now the angel Gabriel tells Mary that she has received a special consideration from Almighty God, and that the result of her pregnancy was going to reveal to the world a child that would be more special than any child ever born before. And because of this news, Mary's life was about to become complicated. The fact that she didn't understand how all of this was going to take place, the fact that she too knew that what it took to have a baby, and she knew she didn't qualify relationally or sexually, all of this gave her a sense of uncertainty. The angel took the time to explain that her cousin Elizabeth had already been blessed by God to bear a child in her old age, but according to our text, never helped Mary to make the connection between the events that had already transpired and those that were about to come. And after it had all been laid out to her, all Mary had to say is, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel left her. And it would seem odd that the story would end there, that this was the whole story, but it's not. The whole story is yet to be told in full. And the question is, if this isn't the whole story, then how does it affect the lives of those who hear it today? It amazes me that at times even I tend to think of things with somewhat of a dismissive attitude. And by that I mean I'm pretty sure I've read this story over 50 times, and I always read it and hear it as if it were a script absent of time. What I think we sometimes forget is that Mary, while she said, "Let it be with me according to your word," actually had 9 months to hold that thought. Mary had, from the time of the angel's announcement until her death, to hold that thought and to consider exactly what this angel had said to her and what it meant for her life. And you may say, well, that's fine for Mary, she was favored by God, but that's just the point, my brothers and sisters. See, we're all favored by God. And maybe that thought wasn't delivered to you by a divine messenger. Maybe you've never thought about it before, but it's certainly a thought worth holding. You see, friends, I know there are some people who believe that while Christ was born to save us, their presence in the family of God is because they came to the reality that Jesus died for them. They accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and confessed him as Lord of their life. And I won't deny that believing and confessing is a part of the process. But none of us are here because of what we've done. We're here because of what God did, because God favored us. We're here because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We're here for this reason, because to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of the will of the flesh or of the will of man or humanity, but of God. And so it is that what we are and who we are not because of anything we did, but because God has looked upon us with favor and chosen to save us. God has looked upon us with the spirit of love and chosen to give Jesus to the world as a gift of redemption. We aren't favored because we love God. We're favored because God loves us. Because while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And the wisdom we received to be able to discern that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, God's gift to the world, that didn't come because we were so smart. God didn't favor us because of the color of our skin, the texture of our hair, the economic status of our pocketbook, our age, our intelligence, our good manners, pearly white teeth, our athletic physique, our health, or any of a thousand other factors. No one can come to the Father unless the Father bids them to come. And so we are here not because of something we did and found favor with God. We're here because God looked upon us and first loved us. Now hold that thought. Because after we've held that thought for a little while, it might do us some good to also hold the thought that being favored by God comes with certain responsibilities. Once again, we're affected by a time warp in which we catch Mary at one moment in the time of her chosenness. We catch her at the time that the message was being delivered. What we don't see is Mary holding that thought. And I'm going to suggest that it's not a thought that one simply cradles and holds near to them while they wait with it. I can only imagine that as she held that thought, she wondered what that baby might look like. What would he be like growing up? What would it be like to have something born of God living inside of you? Would it change her? Would it change those around her? I mean, it sounds more like a thought you wrestle with while you're holding it at the same time. And what about us? When we hold the thought that we are favored by God, do we ever wonder what that means for our lives? Do we ever stop to ponder exactly what it means to be a child of God, or do we just accept it and go on our way? You see, friends, I think it involves a little more than just accepting it and moving on. I think it involves a lot more, and it's that something more that can make all the difference in the world. A USA Today film critic wrote that in some director's hands, an actor remains nothing more than a lump of coal. In others, that same performer will metamorphose into a shining diamond on the screen. The writer tells a story about the old actress, Katharine Hepburn, and that she did her greatest films with a director named George Cukor. But when she was matched with Stuart Miller, her movies suffered. The same was true with Cary Grant and John Wayne. Under the right director, their movies soared, but with other directors, their movies were just average. When professor of cinema studies at New York School of Social Research, Richard Brown, was asked what the key to a consistently winning partnership between actor and director was, he said, it's only one thing: trust. He said a director must trust that an actor has the character inside of him or her, and that it is within that actor's range. And an actor must trust the director with his performance, his work, and his image on screen. It could be that's what led Mary to say, "Let it be with me according to your word." It could have been a simple matter of trust. You see, brothers and sisters, a part of holding that thought means that we have to take on the responsibility of trust. It's about trusting that no matter what God has called us to do and be, even if what God has asked of us seems to be impossible, that we won't and don't rule out the possibility that God is able to transform our lives so that we can be transformed into the people that God is calling us to be. It's also about holding that thought that God believes that we are able to accomplish everything that God has set before us. It means that God trusts and believes that we will faithfully and graciously accept the responsibilities that come with what it means to be favored. Now, does that mean we don't have questions or times of doubt and maybe even moments of disbelief? No, that's not what that means. Does it mean that at times we will question God's wisdom in choosing us, our wisdom in accepting God's call, and perhaps even whether any of what we do really makes a difference? And the answer is yes. Holding that thought will mean all of that. But it also means that we will hold the thought that God is faithful. It also means that we will hold the thought that God has chosen us. It means that we will hold the thought that despite our questioning, despite our doubting, despite our uncertainty, despite our fears, despite our not knowing, despite our speculations, and despite our failures, God still believes in us. It means that we'll hold that thought because God will work out whatever God needs to work out so that by faith, we can learn to place our continued trust in God. Now you hold that thought. That is the word of God for people of God. As we move into our time of Christian discipleship and invitation, I've said it before and I'll stay with me until I die. I don't get insight into who God is moving on or talking to from day to day. Sometimes I'm not even aware when God is talking to me. Somebody say amen. But what I do know is that when God invites someone, they know. And if you know, then now's the time, even if you don't stand up publicly, but to go to your God in prayer and say, as Mary said, "Here I am, Lord, let it be with me according to your word." As we close this morning, our closing selection will be Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. At least I thought it was. Yeah. Straight.
yet again, born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious thine own eternal spirit.
As we move now into our time of giving scripture for, to remind us of our responsibility of stewardship, is in 2 Chronicles, and says, the chief priest Azariah, who was of the house of Zadok, answered him, since they began to bring contributions into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty to spare, for the Lord has blessed his people so that we have this great supply left over. That is what happens in a tithing community. As we understand that, if you have a gift that you want to send in, you may send it in to Mason Memorial Community Church, Post Office Box 2373, Kansas City, Kansas, 66110-0373, or you may place your offering in the collection plate as it comes by. Almighty and gracious God, we humble ourselves as we bring gifts into your church. And we acknowledge, O God, that all that we bring and all that we give, we first received as a gift from you. And so it is not ours that we bring, but yours. We pray that we have been faithful in our stewardship, and that as we collect these offerings, they may be blessed and multiplied, so that we may live faithfully into honoring your vision and your mission for our church, so that we may indeed be living examples of Christ's love active in service to our community. And these things we pray in the blessed name of our Christ and for his sake. And God's people said, amen. If you would join with me now in our closing prayer. Almighty God, humble me to accept your words of promise to me. Be patient when I am confused and don't understand, helping me to faithfully hold the thought that you are faithful. And now may the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rest with each one and in each one until Christ comes again, and he will come and claim us as his very own. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Good morning, everyone. You're all muted, so if you're going to speak, open up your mics. Good morning, Lila.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Blessed.
Well, you can't be sad. That's a bless.
A blessed mess, but I'm blessed.
Nevertheless, you're blessed.
I got more things going on with me than some people have. So, I mean, things. I mean, blessings from God kind of things.
Yeah, so
I'm doing okay. Yeah, I'm doing okay. Hi, Lydia, how are you? Hello?
I'm doing good and very good. I cannot complain. I will not complain.
Well, that's wonderful. Glad to hear that.
Every time I think I want to complain, I stop and think about my blessings.
You know, we were talking about that in Sunday school this morning.
Really?
In some real ways, I said when we see each other, our tendency is to see our flaws. And God asks us not to look at our flaws, but to look at how much of us that is okay.
This is true.
Celebrate that which is okay in us and not concentrate on our flaws. Because, you know, if you concentrate on what's wrong, it just gets worse and worse.
It's worse and worse. It gets worse and worse.
And you become more dissatisfied and more disgruntled. And then you can't live with nobody. In fact,
when I find myself wanting to complain, I just stop and think, and I start counting my blessings, and then I soon get my mind off of the complaints.
Right. Well, you know what they say, you got to be able to get along with you, because you got to live with you all day.
This is true.
And if you can't be satisfied
live with
yourself,
you sure can't go around expecting other people to live with you.
That is. That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God.
Yes, indeed. So we have to learn to like self first.
Absolutely. Because if you don't like you, it's going to be hard trying to like somebody else.
Someone else. You're right. You're so right. So, but people have to do what they have to do to get over for themselves.
Yeah.
And things I may do that gets me by may not work for someone else.
Well, and not only that, but the things we think are wrong with us usually ain't as bad as we make them out to be.
Well, this is, we're our worst critic.
Well, we carry a magnifying glass, not only to look at our problems, but to look at everybody else's problems.
It's so true.
It's kind of like...
But other than that, your family's all well?
Well, we have recovered. She had to spend a day in the emergency room a few days ago.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh. But anyway.
Yeah. But
she got passes.
Yeah, she's back up and moving again. I think she's moving because she won't let it get her down. She just will not let whatever is going on with her stop her.
Well, one day at a time, one step at a time. We have to keep going.
That's for sure.
We sit back and start moping over what's wrong with us. We just get deeper into that rut.
Yeah.
So sometimes we have to just tell ourselves it's okay and we're going to do it.
We're going to do it.
That's right. We're going to do it.
Yeah, well, ain't no stopping us now.
He's a liar.
Yeah. Yeah, the devil is a liar.
He sure is, I tell you.
And he's good at it, too.
Super good.
We were reading, because we're doing this Bible study, I was reading an article, and I said, I began to wonder about angels. So I decided to start reading about angels, and they went through, basically they said there's seven archangels, and then there are 72 other angels, not counting the cherubim and the seraphim and all of them. And then it got down to the last angel, and it said the angel of death. And they said, he's very good at his job.
Very good.
The angel of death is very good at his job.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
That's right. Yes, he does. But he operates under the power and authority of the God of life.
God, that's right.
That's
so, he has someone over him.
Yeah, it can't be all bad. I mean, no. he's just doing his job.
Doing his job, that's right.
A job assigned to him by God.
Yeah. So, this is so true.
So, yeah. Things okay in your area?
Did what?
Things okay in your area?
Oh, yes, everything's fine.
All right.
Wonderful.
You know, ready for Thanksgiving, and I guess now I'm getting ready for Christmas.
Yeah, well, we made some decisions. Normally, we have about 40 to 50 people over to the house for Christmas dinner, not for Christmas dinner. But we usually throw a Christmas dinner party. Mm-hmm. It would be, if we were going to do it, it would be this Friday, this coming Friday. And we just decided not to do it this year.
Well, you know, sometimes we have to kind of slow down.
That's for sure.
We have to slow down.
Even come to a stop.
Stop.
Sometimes you just had to stop. You just
I know about this stopping. Yes, indeed, and thank God for the days when I could do it.
Had to put the here, sweetheart. Put the brakes on and just say, I'm done. Yeah. I quit. And you know, the thing that I found out, which I didn't consider, 25 years ago, I could go into the kitchen and work all day and cook and still have time and energy for people once they got to the house.
Yes.
That's right. That's
now,
right.
If I go into the kitchen and cook all day, I ain't good for nothing but sitting down and taking a nap.
And don't care if the people don't come to the house.
Well, they got to come because you get all that food you
yeah.
cook.
They have to come because you prepare for them.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, time brings about a change. I can remember a time when I was there all night Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
By the time the kids get up from their presents, I hadn't even gone to bed. And yeah, I felt fine.
You're preaching to the choir.
Now give me 2 hours in the kitchen and I'm ready to call it a day. These young folks don't want to learn. They don't want to take over or
no.
even continue a tradition. They're, as long as they can go to the store and get stuff out of the box, they're okay.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
See,
I can go to McDonald's for some nuggets. They're okay.
Yeah, or go to Hy-Vee. Go to the people that cook at Hy-Vee's. Say, give me a couple of them chicken wings, and let me have a pound of that sliced turkey.
Already prepared. Yeah.
Already prepared. That's right. And most people don't know how much energy it takes to cook. That's the thing.
They sure don't.
They don't. And now I understand. It was, when was that? I think it was maybe my first or second large party. I said, now I understand why professional chefs have somebody to do the slicing and dicing.
That's right. I had the sous chef.
They had to do this. So all they had to do was put it on the stove and get it right.
Get it right.
Slicing, dicing, chopping, and mopping.
It makes a difference if somebody's around to dice that celery, dice the onions, dice the bell peppers.
Right.
Everything's all ready. All you got to do is throw it in the pot.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
It makes all the difference in the world.
That's right.
And of course, the ones who do it professionally, it don't take them no time to dice.
It sure doesn't. It surely doesn't. But I can understand why catering can be so expensive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To put into it, yeah. And people take that for granted. They figure you're just in there cooking and it's not an effort, but it is.
It is. It's an effort.
A big effort.
Well, you know, in fact, the last couple of times that I've done that, by the time the food was ready, I wasn't even hungry anymore.
You've seen so much food or tasted so much.
Well, you know, you take this, you taste that. By the time you get through tasting everything, you done had a plate.
You've had a full course meal. You sure have. So, but anyway. That's why I try to get Kevin on. He says, Mama, well, you need to sound eat. I said, maybe once I get through cooking, I'm not ready to eat right now.
Right.
I'm not ready to eat right now, you know.
I've done that too. And then by the time you go back, my God, what? Okay.
You know what? Is it any more this left? It's all gone. I wanted some. So what you better start doing when you're feeding a bunch of people, take your plate out and put it back.
Yeah.
That
sounds like something they used to do down on 9th and Oakland.
Well,
when they had a church dinner.
That's right. Take your plate and put it back and you'll have it.
Right. And then if you was in the kitchen and you had kids, you say, do you want me to save you some of this? Do you want me to save you some?
I tell you, yeah. But those were the good days.
Yeah, they were.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the good days. As I look back over.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, those were some good days.
You have to go through something to get to it.
Well, you know.
All that, you realize those days weren't so bad after all.
And the church community has changed so much.
Everything has changed.
I can't remember the last time somebody said, we're going to a church picnic.
I know.
Or fish fry.
Or to worship in the park. You know, it just... Time has changed. Time has changed. Yes, indeed. But it is what it is. I'm not going to hold you on this phone. Well, I'm sure you got things to do because no one seems to talk except you and I.
I ain't complaining.
I'm not complaining either because I'm going to say everything I can say while I can. So one day I may not be able to say it.
Well, now. Well.
We sure appreciate always, you saying it.
The kids always tease me about talking too much. I said, baby, I have to say everything I have to say.
Absolutely.
While I can say it.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to forget anything.
So, and don't want nothing to be left unsaid. ain't nothing worse than running into a situation where somebody says, I never got to tell her I loved her. Well, you had every opportunity.
Every opportunity, you're right.
And you didn't take it.
Yes, yes.
So,
well, have a blessed day.
Yeah.
Thank you, and you do the same. I've already claimed my blessed day, so it's going to be great.
All right, and if I don't hear you from you next Sunday, you have a Merry Christmas.
And you do the same, and have a safe one, and enjoy your family.
Yes.
Well, you know, my family's to the point where everybody kind of go their own way. The other day, my youngest, you know, now I guess she's my youngest granddaughter. TJ's, ain't nobody got nobody. Tay's the youngest, isn't she?
Yeah, Tay's the youngest granddaughter.
Yeah, she dating now, so.
Well, I say, you know, I tell these
parents,
enjoy your kids while they're young, because when they grow up, they going their own way. You're trying to figure out what to fix for them, and they going somewhere else.
Y'all come
they're not coming around that much, and you wonder why. Well, they have their own life. They have to, you know.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. Oldest great grandson is driving. Youngest granddaughter. Is driving.
You've been watching. You're telling your age. You're telling your age. I tell you.
Hey, well, I started young. I was only 5 when I had my first child.
Well, you go on with your bad self. I'm glad it worked out for you.
Well, you know.
You were 5 when you had your first child. I was 12 years old and still playing with dials. And these girls and I don't even know what a dial is at 5 years old.
No.
Oh.
They can tell you what a crack pipe is, though.
They sure can. They sure can. Some of them could probably tell you how to use it.
Well, and not show you how to use it.
Show you how to use it, yes.
And I mean use it right.
And you know why that is, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
They've been around.
Yep.
People.
They've been around.
Family.
Family and other folks.
Yes, indeed. I
got some other folks.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go. I got to get this stuff done for the church.
Well, you all be blessed and enjoy the holidays.
All right. We'll talk to you next week if God is willing.
If God is willing.
All right, Lila.
Right. Okay. Nice talking with you.
Nice talking to you, and good to see you online, Roz and Ms. Goodwin. Have a blessed Sunday and see you next week.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.